Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, the fastest growing B2B radio network in the country. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and today with me is Brooke Walker, financial representative with Transamerica and World Financial Group. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. I'm excited to talk to you. Anybody who has a website that says How Money Works, a fast friend of mine, and I think you have another website as well, the Join Wealth Wave.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm down with that. Include me in both opportunities. Tell us about Transamerica World Financial Group and what your role is with them.
So I am a financial professional. And really, a big part of what we do is financial education so that people can make sure that they know how money works, so that they can make their money work harder for them and be able to save well and do it in the right places so that they can reach their goals, whatever those may be for them.
Is there a particular type of clientele you like to work best? Like who's, you know, when we do our networking things, who's a great referral for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. A great referral for us, or for me personally, really is a family, you know, that is ready to make sure that they're making the right steps. Family owns a home and that wants to make sure that they're making the best decisions towards the retirement, whether it's getting ready to buy a home even, you know, we can help people get out of debt. So we do wear a lot of different hats for people on that.
These aren't necessarily just business owners. These can be people who work for larger corporations and have that retirement already built into their work.
Or absolutely. Absolutely. So we can definitely work with people who already have some things in place and just make sure, you know, it's kind of like if you have insurance on your car, sometimes you just want to have a check and make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be and right. That you're getting the best out of it.
Very good. And your background, have you always been in finances?
I have not. My background, actually, I've done a lot of managing. I've managed medical offices, managed law firms, and I've had worn a lot of different hats over the years. What got me into finances is I was really looking to get my financial stuff together. I'm a single mom with two kids. And I think that makes it a little more challenging to make sure that you have your finances where you need to have them. Struggled a lot over the years with that. And so I was sitting down trying to get my financial stuff together and I realized that I needed help, that I didn't really know where to start. So my first thing was that I was looking for somebody to help me. And at the time I realized to reach the goals that I wanted to reach, where I was working wasn't going to get me there. So that's when I kind of made a big jump and made a decision that I needed to change. And I started talking to more friends and more family and realized that, you know, that it's pretty global, that there's a lot of people who don't know how money works and don't know how to make theirs work for them and haven't set themselves up for retirement at all different ages.
It's such a great example, I think, for any of us. I remember my mom's been deceased for a little over 12 years. I remember sitting down with her financial planner with my three siblings after she passed away. And I never would have thought my mom would have been really good with money. My parents had been divorced for years. But he looked at us and he said that our mom was one of his favorite clients because she became a student, as you've expressed, is so important as you educate your clients. She became a student of money and saving and financial awareness. And he said that she'd come in and she'd actually say, you know, do you know about this fund or I want to make these decisions. And I never realized that she had that wisdom about her. But like you, she was on her own for many years and she had to find a way. Her situation's, I think, different from many, but she had difficulty keeping a job. So having a savings and money working on her behalf was very necessary. So I love when I hear people who are stepping into leadership roles and education and careers where they can say, listen, I've been where you've been and I'm going to save you from those mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, I love working with families. Another thing that I'm passionate about is really helping other women too. Being a single mom, having gotten divorced when my kids were very little and really raising two kids on my own, if I can help other women who've been where I've been, I'm more than happy to do so because, and a lot of people think that you have to have a really large income to be able to sit down and talk with somebody. And for me, that's not necessarily the case. I'm happy to sit down and help people out, even if they are not financially where they want to be. And that's a big part of what I want to do is help people so that they can live their dreams. I mean, we get so stuck, I think, in the day to day and just trying to get by that we've given up on so many things, and it's not how it should be.
I think so many people do feel like when they get that paycheck every 2 weeks or every week or whatever the deal is, that is all they can do.
Right. An example I kind of used this week, you know, having everything that happened in Vegas, I did a workshop on Monday, and I kind of started the workshop out with talking to people about, you know, life is going to happen. I mean, you know, these tragedies happen in our life, and you can lose somebody in an instant. And having some financial security can really help you so that when those horrible things come up, that you're not financially devastated as well. And so many people are paycheck to paycheck, and they are one emergency away from being financially devastated.
I think that's the case and the story more and more, unfortunately. And thank goodness for people who are in your position to help us navigate that and make those wise choices, regardless of how much we have to invest to start off with, right?
Right.
Again, back to my mom's example, I just remember just being so inspired and so in awe, because he's like, look, she really knew how to manage her money, not only in her wallet, you know, the money that she had access to, but we also created a way that she had this beautiful income that she could live on. And then eventually after she passed away, you know, she really had something left for us as well. None of us had expected that, but it was really just this beautiful gift, really. But also more than anything else, knowing that she had an incredible professional supporting her and helping her make those wise decisions, and was financially sound in a way that I for her, I never dreamed possible.
That's awesome.
So you're an educator. So you did a workshop. I do you offer that frequently? Or?
We do a lot of workshops within our office, and then I have some background being in some other industries as well. I worked in the beauty industry for a while, and so I've done some workshops in salons as well, because you know that's a whole group of people that's mostly ignored. They're all, you know, for the most part, self-employed.
Oh, that's a great kind of target audience, I'd call it. Just a group of people who you speak their language, you've been there.
Right.
Well, that's a great group.
Yeah. So they're definitely looking for ways to begin to plan. And, you know, some of them do very well. But they just don't have that person who's gonna educate them on what are the best options for them.
Excellent. How about young couples just starting out? Any strategies that are best for them?
Yes. So conventional wisdom says that you should be saving about 10% for your future. And I would say that a lot of people aren't even necessarily doing that. I mean, kind of if you look back more towards maybe even my grandparents, I think that saving was a much bigger thing. But you should be saving. And the problem is most people are just spending more at Starbucks than they put away. And I just use Starbucks because it's a good example of where.
It's such a great example.
I mean, people don't realize how $5 a day, that's, you know, $25 a week if you're not even going every day. That's $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year. I mean, it adds up. Next thing you know, if you were putting that in an account that could grow for you, you're really going to make a big difference and make a big dent in the money that you're going to need in retirement.
Yeah, and the difference between a Starbucks, you know, stopping in and paying that, what, $4, $5, $6 there, or making a cup at home, real, and putting it towards your investment, what a treat that is for somebody to be able to look back and say, hey, I did this because I had a slight adjustment to how I was spending my time and showing up.
And I think that young people, I think sometimes young people aren't necessarily looking that far ahead. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I wasn't thinking about how I'm going to, you know, save money for this, that, or the other. It's something that I talk to my kids about now, being that they're, you know, 19 and 18 years old, but it's not something that I thought about when I was younger. And, you know, the other benefit of being young is if somebody starts at a young age, they have a lot more options because they have, if they stay committed, it requires time, money, and patience. You know, you can put your money in a place that will actually work and grow. And the more time you have, the more it's going to grow for you.
And the younger I am, which I'm not saying I am young, but to follow your philosophy, the more we get in the habit of saving earlier, the better it works for us. And then we never feel like we're missing it, is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a habit that a lot of people don't start with. And so if you start the habit of putting that money away, you don't really notice that it's gone. It's when you haven't done the habit. I like analogies, and it's like if you'd never gone to the gym before. If you've never gone to the gym before, the first day that you show up, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But you just have to start training yourself to get those habits that, you know, doing a little bit here and there makes a huge difference, and it's going to really change your outcome. And saving for retirement, everybody thinks that it's something that they'll do later. The problem is, as later comes, it becomes, they end up having children. And then it's like, well, we don't really have money because we have kids. And then the kids get older, and then they have to spend more money on things like, I mean, kids get more expensive.
Yes.
If anybody doesn't know this.
You have an 18 and 19-year-old. I have a 23 and 21-year-old and a 10-year-old. And they do get more expensive. ASU tuition.
Right.
Athletics, gym memberships, phones, proms. Yeah.
If there's more money, there's more ways to spend
yes.
it. So we really help people to try and carve out an area where they don't really realize that they've got money that's kind of draining out of the bottom of their bucket.
Yeah. And I'm hearing that education is a really big piece of this. Again, I love that so much for my mom. And I know the people that we work with are huge on education, because I, like you, I wasn't taught. My parents, I lived with my dad for most of my life, but my dad did very well. But it was never really a conversation for us. I always had what I needed. He was always there to provide it. And when I first graduated from college, I went into education. And, you know, the kind of the retirement plan was there, not a great one, but it was there. And my paycheck came, and I really never taught until I started learning myself and making a commitment to make that financial viewpoint or vantage point
right.
down the road. That was really key. And that was a shift for my husband and I.
Yeah. I understand, because I've had to make the same shift in my own life. I mean,
yeah, as a single parent.
Yeah, the idea of saving was definitely, I mean, there was a lot of times where I struggled. I mean, there was days where it was like trying to figure out how to put food on the table. So the idea of saving money was last thing on the list. So turning that around and being to a position that I could, you know, be able to save some money and be able to make some big impacts on, you know, on really what I wanted my future to look like. But if you're not planning for it, you're just, then you're never going to get there.
Are there some specific strategies or components to like how you would recommend we do that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah. A few of the, when we sit down with somebody, really what we're looking to help them do, the first thing is make sure that they have the right kind of protection. And it's really protection in case of, because life happens, you want to make sure that you have some certain things in place so that when an emergency happens, that you're able to sustain it. And that it's not going to devastate you financially. And that could be all kinds of things. I mean, even down to the minor stuff of just having enough money in a savings account so that, you know, if you blow a tire, you can go get another tire. And then the next thing that we usually look at is things that have little risk, you know, investment options that have less risk. You know, I mean, 2008 was devastating for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people who had 401ks that were lost half of what they had put away. And if they were older, they didn't really have a lot of time to get that back. So we really want to find things for them that they are going to be able to, you know, not have the same risk level. Tax advantages, you know, we all pay taxes. So if we can help people find some tax advantages where they're going to minimize that, that's huge. And then market-like returns. So making sure that people can get the most out of what they are investing and making sure that their money is growing for them. And a lot of people don't realize when you're saving, if you can put it in a place that your money is going to grow for you, it's going to make a huge impact in the long run. You know, because the average savings account, even a lot of people have their money in savings accounts, and savings accounts are not even earning 1%.
No, they're not like they used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't think people, and that's one thing that we do when we sit down with people, we talk about interest and we talk about compounding interest and the impact of compounding interest and how you can make that work for you. And a lot of people are not knowledgeable about how compound interest works, and they don't understand how that affects them on the negative side either, because debt, you also have compound interest when it comes to your credit cards and things like that. I mean, if you're getting credit card, credit card debt that you have a credit card that's got, you know, anywhere from 18 to 20 something percent, people don't realize when they make a purchase what it's really costing them in 5 years, 10 years.
My husband and I have had many conversations about those particular credit cards when they come in, you know, they come in the mail and, hey, you have however many dollar limit. The first thing I go is look to the interest rate because his eyeballs get all big and he's like, oh, this is exciting. I'm like, no. We've got to take a look at, you know, really what the damages are if we're not paying more than the minimum and if we're dragging out before the payment is due.
Exactly. Yeah. It's what is that flat screen? What does that $3,000 flat screen really cost you if you pay it back? If you pay back just the minimums, and a lot of times it's a $3,000 purchase can be a $4,500 purchase.
Wow. And then it makes no sense at all.
And they're like, well, I got it on sale. It's like, but you still...
Yeah, not anymore. You paid above the retail price.
Exactly.
With the interest and all. What's your favorite part of being a financial representative, financial teacher, really?
I love sitting down with somebody who's concerned about their future and really not sure of what their options are and helping give them hope about where they're going to be down the road.
Yeah, hope and strategy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I would imagine that it feels great to be able to be with them and see the success when they start to feel that, like even that first tier, I'm going to call it a tier for lack of a better word, but when you said, you know, first thing we want to do is make sure they're protected.
Right.
That's got to feel great when a client comes back and says, Brooke, we now have enough, you know, put over here for the rainy day or for, you know, an illness or like you said, a busted tire, whatever the deal is.
Exactly.
Now what's the next piece of this?
Right. Right. And it's it's the long term. I mean, we're looking at long term. So, you know, I mean, in the beginning, it's just baby stepping till we get to a point that people are really making huge changes in their future, in their life and what they're going to have when they retire. Because there's so many people who get to retirement are not where they need to be. I mean, there's people who are going bankrupt in retirement. There's a lot of people who don't plan for all this stuff. And there's a lot of people working until an older age. And I mean, I don't know about you. I don't care if I work later in life. I just don't want to be obligated to have to do it so that I can put food on my table at 70 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. And outside of finances, I always like to get a feel for who people are, not only in their, their chosen profession and their zone of genius, but outside of finances, what do you enjoy doing?
I am a runner. So...
Oh.
I picked up running probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I decided I was going to go run a half marathon, and that was from not really running at all. So that was kind of a huge feat. And since then, I run Ragnars. I don't know if you're familiar.
I don't run them, but my friend Barb Regis runs them. And we did our first half marathon together years ago. I'm not so much a runner anymore, but I'm very familiar with Ragnar. What a blast those are.
Oh my gosh. They're so much fun. So I'm actually going to go do my first one. We're doing one and goes from San Francisco to Napa in the beginning of November.
Nice.
So I'm really excited about that. And then I do the one here locally, which is pretty much every February. I'm going to run my first marathon in January. I'm going to do a full.
Is that the PF here in town?
Yeah, the rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Yeah,
oh
I'm going to do that.
My friends have been encouraging me to do the Huntington Beach run, which we did several years ago. And I keep going back and forth. I'm looking at the clock, though, and I'm then the calendar. If I'm going to start preparing for a half, I don't think I'd ever do a full, but I need to start training if that's the case. So let's see. Are you're in training right now? Then you'd have to be for a full already yet?
I don't really go out of training much these days. I usually have a run pretty steady here and there. So like I just did a half up in Flagstaff with my sister.
Oh,
She I've dragged her into my running with me.
Good.
So she dragged me to go do one in Flagstaff. So it was difficult with the elevation, but we did really well. I was really proud of her.
Very nice.
So she's actually doing the Ragnar with me in Napa. So we're going to have fun. We'll run and drink some wine and then do some little races in between.
Very good. And your kiddos, you're 18 and 19, you mentioned, and they're benefiting from this financial knowledge and experience that you've had clearly. Do you see them making different choices than you would have made as a child at that age? And I say child, young adult.
Right. Yeah, my son, actually, it was interesting. When he was, even before he was out of high school, he was talking about wanting to save for retirement, which I was surprised because I don't think that I think he actually got that from school. I don't think he got that from me, but I was really excited about it. And so sitting down with him and helping him. So he's always saving money and he has some stuff put in a few places that he actually will be ahead of a lot of people by the time he gets to retirement age if he did nothing else other than what he's doing right now. And that's just putting a little bit of money away. And then my daughter, she's still in high school. So we definitely talk about some different stuff, but we haven't set quite anything up. She actually just recently started a new job. And so...
But at least the conversations there, you know, you and I both expressed that conversation, it wasn't even something on the top of our consciousness when we were that age. And what a gift that you were able to give them, that they see you now making a difference on behalf of families and parents and business owners as you help them navigate their wellness around their financial wellness, really.
Right. It's exciting to do things for kids that, you know, you didn't quite have in place for yourself. I mean, the ability to educate your kids on things and you know, it's... And it's funny because sometimes you're not sure if your kids are listening and then they actually, and then you see them do things and you're like, oh, I didn't even know you were paying attention. And you know, those are some of your really proud parenting moments.
Absolutely. Brooke, it's been a pleasure to have you at Phoenix Business Radio today to talk a little bit about finances and the kinds of people that you help and how you help them specifically through work as a financial representative. Tell us how we can get a hold of you. I already mentioned your two websites because I love the name of those, but give us to us again, please.
Yeah. So you can find me on my website, howmoneyworks.com/Brooke, Brooke. Make sure you don't capitalize any of them. For some reason, it gets funky if you capitalize those. And then you can also find me, my phone number, 480-586-5018. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook and all those other sites. If you friend me, I'll be happy to friend you.
Excellent. Well, on behalf of Phoenix Business Radio X, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people, I'm Karen Nowicki, and we will see you next time.